You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is alive today. It's transforming people's hearts throughout the world. This is Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwartz, your host, welcoming you to another great study of God's Word through the trusted Bible teaching of our founder, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. Did you know that just as we open God's Word to Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 14, to study, others around the world are with us on the Bible bus? Our fellow passengers join us today in more than 250 languages, in big cities, small towns, remote villages, but what we all have in common is a love for Jesus and God's Word. It's always such a joy hearing stories like this one from a gentleman in Sudan, a very hard place to live. I'm happy because I have found your program. I found Jesus. Although I can't read properly, I understand what you are saying about the Word of God. I was raised as a Muslim, and at the age of 18, I married a lovely girl. We couldn't have children, and she was sure it was because of me. After 4 years of marriage, while I was traveling for work, she cheated on me. After that's when a lot of problems began. I started drinking, smoking, taking drugs, and I got caught after hitting one of my family members. Because of that, I was put in jail for a year. Many things cleared up while I was in prison. I discovered that the father that I knew was not my father. I asked my mother, and she admitted that my biological father was killed in the war. Many other things happened as well at that time, all of which I cannot share with you, but they affected me deeply, and one day I was drunk and fell on my face. I knew I hit rock bottom, and that's when I met Jesus. A friend told me that He is the way, the truth, and the life. I confessed my sins, and I accepted Him. It was all like a dream. Through listening to your programs, I have decided to follow Jesus each day and not let go of Him. He saved me, and He will not let go of me. Praise God. Please pray for me that my faith continues and I'll be sustained in it. Well, would you join us as we pray for listeners like this one and all over the world? Sign up for our world prayer team at ttb.org/pray. Now let's give this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we stand on your word as it's proclaimed boldly to the nations. We pray that those in every corner of the world would hear your voice today and turn to you in faith. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's open to Philippians 1 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now our study today, friends, brings us back here into the first chapter of Philippians, and we're putting in at verse 14. I hope many of you have the notes and outlines. If not, we have a set here for you. There's no charge for that. Last time, we noticed that Paul said that the things that had happened to him had happened for the furtherance of the gospel rather than the hindrance of the gospel. Because I'm sure that when Epaphroditus brought this letter and gift from the Philippians, it was a note of deep sympathy and love for Paul. And they were distressed that the gospel apparently was not going out. That was their conclusion, that since Paul was in prison. Now Paul says, instead of it being hindered, actually it's going to the exact places that the Lord said it would go to. He said, I'm in prison in Rome, but there's chained to me, and that was the method. Every day there'd be a changing of the guard, and a new man would be chained to the Apostle Paul. And they let him do that rather than put him in prison. He was in his own hired house. And I would say that the surroundings at that time were not too uncomfortable, because after all, this man chained to him is a member of the Praetorian Guard, and that meant he was a patrician. He belonged to the upper class in Rome. Only Italians belonged to it. Now, Paul has chained to him for several hours each day a member of the royalty. What do you think Paul talked about? I imagine they talked about the weather. Probably the man asked him about what the charge was against him, and probably asked him about what conditions were over in the East. How was it in Asia? He'd heard about it, and probably as a soldier, he would be sent out to that area. However, very few of these guards ever left the Roman area. And Paul now ministers to him. Paul is able to say to this man, I have something to tell you. I'm in bonds because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that now, as the Lord had said at first, he had said, this man, Saul of Tarsus, will appear before kings and rulers. Well, he's made it now. He's appearing before them. And therefore, it was falling out. And then there was something else here. Notice verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And you see that in the church, there were many men who had loved to have gone out as witnesses. Fact of the matter is, they would have. But having heard the Apostle Paul, and I think Paul, though not very impressive to look at, I think to hear him would have been very impressive. And he spoke in the power of the Spirit. And I'm sure that many folks said, well, look, Paul is out going up and down Roman roads preaching the gospel, and he does it so much more effectively than I can do it, so I'll not be going out. He felt like, as many folk feel today, I'm not worthy, I'm not competent, I'm not trained. And as a result, why, there were not many going up and down preaching the gospel. Now, word goes out to the churches in the Roman Empire that Paul the Apostle is at Rome in prison, and he can no longer go out as a witness for Jesus Christ. I am confident that literally at this time, hundreds of men, maybe thousands, hit the Roman roads. They hit the pavement. They really moved out and went even from Doha to Doha and began to witness for Christ. And Paul says here, very frankly, many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds. They say, Paul can't go. I'll go. And many went out. So Paul can sit there in prison and say, well, I was out by myself with, of course, a few others. But now, literally, there are hundreds and maybe even thousands out preaching the gospel. He's being multiplied. So he says, what's happened to me has happened for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, I want to add a third reason. Paul doesn't mention it, but it certainly is true. And it is this, that we can only get this from the perspective of history. I'm sure Paul at that day, he may or may not have thought of it. He could have. But he certainly doesn't mention it. And it is this, that you and I today have four prison epistles that are the very choice epistles. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, all marvelous. And we wouldn't have them if Paul hadn't been in prison. I'm sure the Lord might have worked out some other way, but this just happened to be the way he did it. So all of these are the reasons that it's happened for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, Paul lets us in on something that was tragic in that day, and it happens to be tragic in this day. And it is just simply this, that, well, let me read it. Verse 15, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Now, this to me, when I first began to read it and study it years ago, was unbelievable. I could not believe that the preaching of the gospel of Christ could be done in envy and strife. But friends, I've been at this a long time, and I've seen that one of the things that hurts the preaching of the gospel today, and I think probably as much as anything, one is envy and the other is strife. Both of these today can hurt the gospel. Now, Paul is going to mention envy and strife again, in fact, several times in this epistle. And apparently, there were those that were going around preaching in envy and strife. They were envious, actually, of the Apostle Paul. They felt like they couldn't quite do it like Paul. And one of the things that I think is the answer to envy is for every Christian to recognize that he has a gift. We all do not have the same gift. And the problem is that some men who do not have a gift are envious of those that have another gift. And gifts are to be exercised, as Paul, you remember, told the Corinthians. He says it's to be done in love. In fact, every gift is to be exercised in love. And when that gift is exercised in love, it can never be exercised with the thought of, for instance, he says, love suffereth long, is kind. Love envieth not. You see, love never says, oh my, I wish I had your gift. The Lord sure shortchanged me. I wish I could do as you do. Well, my friend, we don't all have the same gift. And love, if your gift is exercised in love, well, you will not envy somebody else. And it means something else. It vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. And it's not a gift that says, well, look at me. I can sing, or I can preach, or I can teach. You never do that. You recognize that this is a gift of God, and as Paul put it very plainly and bluntly, he said, what do you have that you didn't receive? Everything you've got today, friends, God gave it to you. But here was some going out, and they were preaching Christ of envy. Envy, you know, what it really means, I don't think much of you. And pride says, what do you think of me? That's the difference between pride. And both of them are something we are warned against. You remember in the book of Proverbs, it was pride that we were warned against. Now here it's envy in this epistle. One of the great sins in the church. In fact, envy and strife, and the word strife is quite an interesting word here. Actually, this word strife is a word that has to do with eris. It comes from that word, stirring up. There were these spirits, actually demons of that day, and they stirred up strife. And you find envy and strife that causes so much problem today. I would say these two little fellas hurt the church more than anything else. I don't think it's liquor and alcohol and drugs on the outside that hurts the church. I think it's envy and strife on the inside that hurts the church. And he says, also some preach Christ of goodwill. But now, what's Paul's attitude toward that? He's in prison. He can't answer them. Well, he says, the one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. They preach Christ, but not sincerely. They do it actually to try to show up Paul. And Paul, what would be his reaction to that? And does that find a place today? Well, notice this first here. He says, the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Now, what about these two? Paul says, what then? Notwithstanding every way. That is, in either case, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice. Yea, he says, I will rejoice. Paul says, the important thing is that Christ be preached. Now, I think it's tragic that Christ is preached in envy and strife. And all you have to do is look about you today, and you'll find that he's preached that way many times. But you can rejoice that Christ is being preached. Sometimes folks say to me, because I've been a little rough, I guess, on female preachers. I used to carry on a battle here in Southern California with them, and they all said they prayed for me, and of course they prayed that I'd be lenient on female preachers. But as I said on several occasions, some of these women are preaching Christ better than the average male preacher is preaching him. And what is my position? Why, I rejoice. Thank God Christ is being preached. Dr. Ironside tells the story of walking through a park up in Oakland, California, many years ago, and a woman was there preaching, and his brethren friend said to him, my, isn't it a shame that this woman is here preaching? Dr. Ironside says it's a shame that there's not some man to take her place. That is the problem. Thank God that Christ was being preached. That's the important thing. And when the Word of God is given out, we can rejoice in it. Now, there are a great many folk today that are getting concerned about home Bible classes. Well, I'm rejoicing in it because sometimes some of them go off on a tangent, but not any more so than the churches go off or that the radio preachers go off, for that matter. And we can rejoice that the Word of God is being taught today. That's the important thing. Paul has given us a tremendous example here, as you can see. He says, the one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, and the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Now, the interesting thing is that though Christ be preached, not sincerely, people get saved. You see, God honors his word, not a man or an organization. I think we need to recognize that today, and I wish more and more people do that. I have people that write in personally, and they write in through our radio ministry, and they're so gracious and kind in saying things. But friends, if there's any blessing that can possibly come even from this small voice today, the Spirit of God is the only one that can bring blessing. We need to recognize that. And he can only bless as the word of God is given out. And that's what we want to do, is to give out the word. Now, Paul says he'll rejoice. He does rejoice, and he will rejoice. And if Paul's going to do that, I'm going to join with him and rejoice. Now, verse 19. He says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. Now, when he says salvation here, I think he means his physical deliverance from prison. I think that that's the thing he's speaking of in this particular case. And the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, he says here, through your prayer. And I'd emphasize that. Somebody said, why did you ask everybody to pray for you when you had cancer? Didn't you know that God would heal you if you go to him in prayer? And, you know, and that type of thing. Oh, my friends, the Bible makes it clear that God hears and answers prayer of his people. And Paul recognizes that. He says, through your prayer, I'll be delivered. And we need today to ask God's people to pray for us. And the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's the only way you and I'll get that supply that we need. It won't get through to us except through prayer. Now, verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Now, Paul says, I don't want to be ashamed here in my witness. And I don't want to be ashamed when I come into the presence of Christ. Now, John mentions the fact that when Christ comes, takes his church out, that it's possible to be ashamed at his appearing. And I think more Christians ought to be concerned about that today. Now, I began years ago a prophetic congress in downtown Los Angeles that is spread over this entire area and is given a tremendous emphasis to prophecy. And this has been carried out across this country today. But I want to say this to you. There are too many people that are talking about the coming of the Lord that are not ready for the coming of the Lord. Oh, you say, aren't they saved? Yes, they're saved. But they're going to be shamed at his appearing. Their lives do not commend the gospel. Now, Paul says he didn't want to be ashamed at that time. Now, he puts down his philosophy for Christian living. As I said in each one of these chapters, there's a particular emphasis on Christian living. Chapter 1, it's the philosophy of Christian living. And that is all congealed and brought down to one verse in each chapter, whatever the subject is. What is Paul's philosophy? For me to live is Christ, and to die, gain. The verb is actually not there, as you'll notice that the is in italics. For me to live, what? Christ. And to die, gain. What is gain? More of the same. You'll have more of Christ. Now, you're going to be with him someday. And I'm coming to the conclusion, it took me a long time to get here, friends, the most important thing in my life as a Christian is to have the reality of Jesus Christ in my life. I find out that's not too popular today. People like to talk about that they're dedicated and they want to serve him and they want to do this and that. Well, the most important thing is to have fellowship with him, that your joy might be full. And then there'll be power. Then there'll be witness. Then there'll be these things. We are going after the end and forget all about the means. And by the way, The means does not always justify the end. We need to recognize that it has to be the right kind of means, and that is fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. For me to live, Christ, die, well, I'm going to go and be with him. You can't hurt a man like that. I wish I could come up to that level, and I wish I could say to you today, that's where I'm living today. Well, I can't say it, but I can say this to you, that is my goal. What a glorious one it is. Now he says here, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I choose, I know not. Paul said he didn't know. You and I don't know about the future. We don't know what a day will bring forth. Now he says, I'm in a strait betwixt too. Having a desire, and it could only be a desire. Paul says, I'd love to go and be with Christ right now. That'd be wonderful. To depart and be with Christ, that's the better of the two. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to stay down here when I had cancer. I wanted to stay, and I prayed God had let me stay. I always think of that story about in my Southland. It was in a church, and the preacher asked one night, how many of you want to go to heaven? Everybody put up their hands except the little boy down front. That little boy didn't put up his hand, and the preacher said to him, said, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, I sure do. But he said, I thought you were getting up a load for tonight, and he didn't want to go tonight. I feel the same way about it. I'm like Paul, to stay as needful, and I'd like to stay around for a while and give out the word of God. I've just now got to the best part of my ministry. I don't want to leave it. I want to stay with it, and I'm asking God to let me stay. How wonderful it is. Now, Paul says to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for your furtherance and joy of faith. Paul says, I want to be a blessing to you, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Paul wanted to get out of prison. He wanted to come and be with them again. How wonderful. Now, verse 27, only let your conversation. Now, this means your way of life. Be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or whether I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Oh, how God's people need to stand together for the furtherance of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. If the church was what it should be in the world today, the world would listen. Now, verse 29, for unto you it's given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. And friends, that is the high calling of Christ Jesus. If you get to the place where he let you suffer for him, you've arrived. I'm not sure I want to be in that class, but he put me in it whether I wanted it or not. I'm not a very good example, but my, that is a token of his blessing. Having the same conflict which he saw in me, now here to be in me. In other words, Paul says, I've arrived, I'm in this class, but that's a token of blessing, not a token that God has turned his face against you. Well, we leave off right there, and we'll pick up right there next time, friends. So until then, may God richly bless you.
If you or someone you love is in a difficult place today, visit ttb.org and download a free copy of Dr. McGee's booklet, Why Do God's Children Suffer? ttb.org is also the place to find out about the ways that we offer the notes and outlines that Dr. McGee mentioned. Or you can call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we'd be happy to help you out. Now, one final thought by Dr. McGee.
Victor Hugo wisely said, when I go down to the grave, I can say I finished my day's work, but I cannot say I finished my life. My life's work will begin the next morning. The tomb is not a blind alley. It is a thoroughfare. It closes with the twilight to open with the dawn. That's what Paul is trying to tell us in those wonderful prison epistles like Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Philemon.
Ride the Bible bus for 5 years and you'll be amazed at what God teaches you from His Word about what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's a blessing that keeps on going. That's what we believe at Through the Bible.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Well, praise the Lord. I am Minister Gloria Ross of New Life Assembly of God in Melbourne, Florida. I pray for all our faith partners and radio listeners to be blessed by the radio broadcast today. Our church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our church service is every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. sharp. Now here is Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord once again. This is your radio pastor, James Ross, and we thank God for the opportunity to be on the air to minister the unadulterated word of God. We believe what the word says, and therefore we speak it. I want to pray for those out there in radio land, faith partners, radio listeners, and all that tune into the broadcast, that you would be blessed through the hearing of this word. And don't just be hearers only, but be doers as well, giving the Lord Jesus Christ all of the praise, the honor, and the glory. Father, once again, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray for our faith partners out there, Lord, and all that have tuned in to broadcast, that the word would touch their hearts, Lord. They would realize their position in Christ, and those that are not in Christ, and they would repent of their sins and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their hearts, that they would be blessed. We thank you and praise you for this very moment in the mighty name of Jesus. And to him and only him be the glory, the honor, and the praise. Glory to God.
Amen.
Well, today we want to look at the book of James here. We want to see what the word of God is telling us concerning faith. Because whatever it is, whatever trial or whatever things that you may be going through, we have to trust the Lord. And that means all of us. There aren't anyone that are exempt from any type of challenge, a trial that may come your way. God is able, and he knows how to protect, deliver his children. And even those that have not tuned in to the broadcast this morning, that maybe by some divine appointment that they happen to hear this message, they will give their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God is a good God, and he loves us all. Praise God. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And we all were lost. We all needed a Savior. And Jesus Christ is the Savior. In James 1, praise God, the Bible tells us that we are to count it all joy when we fall in diverse temptation, the various types of trials. When we fall into those trials, praise God, we are to give the Lord Jesus Christ all of the praise. Amen. We praise him in the trials, praise God. And we praise him after the trials, because he's the one that will bring us out of whatever it is that we have been challenged with. And Minister Glory, the scripture tells us, James is saying here, that we're to count it all joy. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's the joy of the Lord, which is our strength.
Amen.
Praise God. We draw strength from the joy, praise God, and from the word of God. So Minister Glory, we'd like to read that.
It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
The trying of your faith.
Yes.
If you are operating in faith, and I want to tell you today that there are many times when things come out to challenge us to see whether we truly believe in what the word of God says.
Amen.
We are to operate by faith. We don't have to try and conjure up faith, because we are walking by faith that the word of God has shown us and the spirit of the living God has led us, so that we understand that we walk by faith and not by sight.
Praise God.
So whatever it is today that many people are challenged by, I want to tell you today that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's powerful. Glory to God. His blood still has power. If you trust in him and give him all of your heart, not just part of what you feel that you may be able to get rid of and keep something else in your heart. No, let him have your whole heart so that you can do the will of God. And James is telling us here, praise God, that we count it all joy when we are in the different types of temptation. Because God is with us no matter what is going on. He's with us, and we must remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us, because he didn't come to visit and then leave. If you are a child of God, he came to stay, praise God.
Amen.
To live in you, glory to God. Because Apostle Paul was telling us in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 that there has no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is able. God is truthful. God is faithful, who will, with the temptation, make a way of escape for you.
Praise God.
That you will be able to bear it. So I want to tell you today that if you're being challenged by whatever it may be, God is with you. He's right there, because he's already said that he will never leave you nor forsake you, that he would even be with you until the end of the world. And this is a promise that we must keep in mind, that no matter what we're going through, we have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, praise God, one of the fruit of the Spirit, and we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he'll never leave us. So he's going through whatever it is that you're going through, because he's with you, praise God.
Praise God.
Ms. Grover, you want to read the next verse of Scripture?
He says, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him.
Praise God. If any man, or any of us, lack wisdom, we ask the Lord, praise God.
Amen.
You never say that we get into a prayer line and pray for wisdom. We ask the Lord Jesus, praise God, who is the wisdom of God.
Praise God.
And he will give it to us. Praise God. The scripture tells us he will give it to us.
Yes.
And by faith we believe that. That when we ask God for wisdom, that's who we get wisdom from. Praise God. I'm speaking of spiritual wisdom. I'm not speaking of earthly wisdom, because they're wisdom of this world, and a lot of folks are following the wisdom of the world, but I'm speaking of godly wisdom.
Amen.
Praise God. And that's what we need each and every day in order to carry out the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to do. Praise God. Go ahead, Minister.
But let him ask in faith.
Let him ask in faith. You see, the whole thing is that we say a lot of things, and a lot of times we're asking for something, but it's not in faith, because we're just saying it and not really expecting God to do what we're asking him to do. But faith pleases God. And when we ask in faith, we will receive, because Jesus said, everyone that asks, they receive.
Yes.
So whatever it is that you have asked the Lord Jesus Christ for, just by faith believe that he'll give it to you.
Praise God.
And he will. Praise God. He will give it to you. This whole world was framed by faith. The Bible tells us that that's how we are to live, by faith. We are to walk by faith. Whatever we ask God for, it has to be by faith, because he's faith God.
Amen.
Amen. I said he's a faith God. And I tell you, whatever we ask, it has to be by faith, and we must believe. Minister Glory, before we want to go to another verse of Scripture, but just stay there for a moment. We want to look at Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and the 6th verse, praise God. You want to read that verse of Scripture?
It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him.
All right. See, without faith, and many times, a lot of us have asked the Lord for something, and it wasn't by faith. We just didn't have no expectation of God giving us what we had asked him for. But I want to tell you, the scriptures are very clear concerning faith. James is speaking of faith, and this is how we are to walk, praise God, by faith and not by sight. The scripture tells us in Romans 1, praise God, in verse 17 and 18, glory to God, and thereafter, that the just shall live by faith. Amen. We are to live by faith. So the whole idea is that we ask God in faith whatever it is that we desire of him. Praise God. And he will do it. Praise God.
Praise God.
That's how we are to conduct ourselves as children of God. All of us have problems, issues that develop each and every day. There aren't anyone that's free of any issues, because if you are, then you better run back to the altar and pray, because there's a lot of things that's going on in this world. Praise God. And we need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ by
Amen.
Faith.
Amen.
So he says, without faith, it is impossible to please him,
Amen.
To please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you diligently seeking God today? And that's for all of us, praise God. Each and every day, we should be diligently seeking God and asking whatever need that we have, that he would bless us with it, and that our faith would be only in him. Only in him, and not in what we feel that we are able to do. My faith is not in me. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Minister Gloria, you want to add something to that? Praise God. Well, we go back to James, and we'll continue. Because if you lack wisdom, ask God by faith, and he will give it to you. Praise God. I said he will give it to you.
Right.
You want to read the next verse?
It says, but nothing faith, not wavering when you're asking God in faith. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed.
We are not to waver.
No, not doubt at all.
Amen. We are not to say today I have faith and tomorrow I'm walking in doubt and unbelief.
No.
No. Faith, that's what we walk in. We believe by faith. And James is saying here that you can't waver when you ask God for something.
Right.
If you ask in faith with expectation that God's going to give it to you, then you must remain in that faith, that attitude of faith, until you receive whatever you're asking God for.
I remember Mark, Pastor, in Mark 11, and 22, and he said, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said, have faith in God, and ones that are born again, they are his disciples. And it says, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but what shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, and he shall have whatever soever he saith.
But Jesus is telling, he's giving indication there that it has to be by faith. If you have a problem in your life, whatever it may be, and he's saying that you can speak to the mountain by faith and it'll move. Praise God. I don't mean a literal mountain. I'm talking about a problem or problems that you may have in your life. He said you can speak to it. And so many of us, we entertain those mountains instead of doing what Jesus said, by having faith in God and what we believe in our heart, and we speak to these mountains or these problems or issues that are in our lives, that God says that they get out of the way. I said they'll get out of the way. Praise God. But you must believe. And the reason you believe it is because you say it. And in that verse of scripture there, it's talking about we're saying this not just one time or two times, but three times, that we're saying what we actually believe. Because he said, whatsoever things, praise God, that you say to mm-hmm. this mountain,
right.
believe in your heart,
mm-hmm. and not doubt,
that the things which you say,
mm-hmm.
that's two, shall come to pass. Number three, he said, you'll have
whatsoever you say.
Whatsoever you say. So we mm-hmm. have to speak, praise mm-hmm. God. Get it out of our lives. Get out. We are children of God. We believe what the word of God says. And Jesus has given us strong illustration, praise God. And he said in the next verse there, he said, and what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you've received them, mm-hmm. and you shall have them. That's faith, praise
that's
God.
Right.
That is faith. And James is, it's all in the word of God here. And James is, back to James, and he's saying, well, what we say, we should not waver.
Yeah.
You know, like a ship being tossed to and fro. We must believe,
mm-hmm.
hold fast to what we are saying and believing with a great expectation that God will do it. Because God is faith. He's a faith God.
Yes, he is.
And he will give us what we ask him, providing through our obedience.
Amen.
And what we're trusting him in for. Him. Praise
right.
God.
Mm-hmm.
But
amen.
See, when you cannot be double-minded. You just cannot be double-minded. Today you say, well, I have this strong faith. And tomorrow you're walking in weakness and unbelief and doubting because you have not received it. Let me tell you something. God knows when to give what you're asking.
Yes.
He knows whether you're asking in faith with an expectation that you're going to receive what he's going to give you.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. I'm telling you. Most of us, we walk around and we say something today, but if it hadn't come as fast as we desire for it to come, then we stop believing.
Right.
But I want to tell you, Minister Gloria, if you have an expectation of what God is going to do mm-hmm. when you ask him, mm-hmm. is in his time.
That's right.
Praise God. He will bless you.
He will.
Glory to God.
But you must have that confidence in him. Yes. Amen. Because he says, this is in 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, Jesus, that if we ask anything according to
yes.
his will now, he heareth us. A lot of times we pray things that's not in his will. So now we have to find out what his will is. And his will is in the word of God. Amen? And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Woo! Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Because I was doing a little studying, and praise the Lord, and I saw where, you know, the faith that we have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is the same faith that we need to be healed to whatever desire that we have. Praise God. Faith is faith. Although we are asking God for something different other than believing that he's the Son of God, but we don't have to try and conjure up faith for healing when we have the same faith for salvation. Praise God. I'm telling you, this work of faith that the scriptures are telling us about, it all, praise God, benefit us as we believe and have faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ has said. Now, we're going to go back to James because we're moving line upon line, precept upon precept. In other words, a little here and a little there. Praise God. Because we're talking about faith. And faith is what framed this whole world. The world was framed by the word of God. And that was faith. God spoke. And things came into existence. Praise God. So what does James say again? He says that,
for let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
A double-minded man, two minds, two ways of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to tell you out there in Radio Land, when you believe what the Word of God says, then you're to hold fast on it until whatever it is that you're requesting materializes itself. And God knows when to do it. That's why when we ask by faith, there's an expectation, praise God, that we are going to receive what we ask God for. That's all of us. There aren't any exceptions. We must believe by faith, praise God. Glory to God. Because faith is the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
We don't have what we're asking God for, but we're believing that God will give us what we're asking for.
Amen.
Faith is the vehicle that we need.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is wonderful. Yes.
All by faith.
Mm-hmm.
The just, we should live by faith. Amen. That's how we live. We are to live by faith.
Because I know in 2 Corinthians, is it 4 and 18, where it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, they're what? Temporal. They're subject to change. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So there's faith right there.
Praise God. Praise God. That is faith. And we have to exercise faith in order to get whatever we desire of the Lord. Faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Yes.
And the evidence
of things not seen.
So faith is the evidence of things not seen. We believe in God for so many things. Praise God. And we know that by faith, we have received what we've asked for. There's a time when he brings the request that we have into mere existence so that we can receive it from a material standpoint.
Amen.
We must trust him.
Let's trust him.
Praise God. And you know, Minister Glory, he says that faith is the evidence.
Yeah.
So if faith is the evidence, that means that whatever I've asked for, I've received it already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I know that I don't have it from a material standpoint, but I know that it's forthcoming.
True.
Because the evidence of what I'm asking for is my faith.
Amen.
I believe.
You believe.
Therefore, I speak.
Amen.
Praise God. And I receive.
Yes.
James is, it just all through the Word of God is telling us about faith. And we have to believe what the Word says, and by faith, even with salvation, praise God, we must believe by faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he died on Calvary's cross for all of our sin. It's by faith.
Yes.
You have not seen this, nor have I. But by faith, we believe. Mr. Glory, like I was telling the church Sunday there, that you can come to church and you can carry Bibles and you can go through all the song service and all the other things that take place inside church service. But that does not make you a child of God.
No.
And people feel that because they come to church, do God a favor, that they are a child of God. But I want to tell you something. The scripture tells us something different than that. Minister Glory, would you read Galatians 3 and verse 26? Praise God.
For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Isn't that something? By faith. Faith is awesome. It's powerful.
Yes.
Can't get anything without faith. Not from God.
Not from God.
Not from God. God will give it to us, but by faith. There are plenty of things that we have asked for, but if it wasn't by faith, believing that God will do it, it's not coming to pass. Because like you read before in 1 John 5 in verse 14, that when we ask God for something through obedience,
yes, obedience,
praise God, it says, and we have confidence.
Yes.
that he will do it.
Yes.
How many of us have confidence? You know, that's why James is talking about, well, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Because if you have the confidence, you will go back and forth.
Right.
You would
hold fast.
Hold fast. Praise God. That's the word I want to use. Mm-hmm. Hold fast to what you said until it materialized.
Exactly.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why in 1 John 5, verse 14, is saying that, well, this is the confidence that we have in him.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we have this confidence that if we ask anything according to his will.
His will. His will is the word of God. Amen.
Yes. His will, yes. His will is the word of God.
Amen.
That's what the word says. Mm-hmm. His will. Mm-hmm. According to his will, that he hears us.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And I tell you, and if we know by faith that he hears us, then we know that we have the petition which we desire of him.
Amen.
This is a walk of faith. This is a lifestyle of faith. This is how we are to live, by faith. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Giving the Lord Jesus Christ all the praise.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, Minister Glory, we got 1 minute.
Amen.
Praise God.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus,
all by faith,
and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, what? By faith.
Praise God, by faith. And I want to tell you out there in Radio Land, that's the lifestyle, the just, those that are justified, found not guilty, and declared righteous, are to live by faith. God bless you all out there. Radio Land, it's my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach. We are going to see the King.